All we have to remember is that the Vikings won. Win in ugly still counts. Vikings win 28-24 in a game that they trailed for over 59 minutes of. So we'll break down everything good, bad, and ugly here on the Locked On Vikings podcast.
Ooh-wee!
You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Locked On Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at LukeBraunNFL. Show is on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. And thank you so much for making Locked On Vikings your first listen of the day. Vikings win 2-1, baby. First place in the NFC North, I believe, if my tiebreakers are right. So we've got that going for us. 28-24 against the Lions at home. Twas a rough one for most of this game. A lot more went wrong than went right. And it just kind of, that just turned out to be more true for Detroit. And so the Vikings walk away with the win. But hey, look, you take those. And hey, the Gophers punked Michigan State. So great day for Minnesota football versus Michigan football all around. So I guess the headlines coming off of this game, there's some stuff about like personnel, where it was Lewis Seen, Dalvin Cook's injury. We'll get to that soon. But also, this is a really difficult Kirk Cousins game to make heads or tails of, because he was like really bad at times and also really good at times. And like, what do you do with that? Sort of becomes more of a reflection on what you're trying to do when you talk about Kirk Cousins than anything, because it was a truly like up and down game. Like up and down is the way that I put it when you've got some good plays and some bad plays. I don't know. Average that out if you want into some metric, but I don't really want to. Like I want to say, yeah, these were great plays and these were not great plays and they coexisted, and not try to solve further than that. So we'll get into that. And then I don't know what exactly is going on with the defense, like specifically, but I have some ideas. So we'll go with that. Also, Justin Jefferson was totally shut down. All things I'm hoping to talk about in this show, but let's start with the major kind of news out of the game. Dalvin Cook goes down, shoulder injury. They're going to try to harness him up and play him in week four. That feels like he's going to be a game time decision. Of course, you know, you see how the week goes and stuff. So Dalvin Cook has a labral tear. He already had a labral tear. He's had a labral tear for a while. If you think of Dalvin Cook as injury prone, you're probably thinking of that injury. And that was aggravated with a weird shot, a little friendly fire, actually bumps into his own lineman at just the right angle, and it hurts him bad enough. He actually fumbles and loses the fumble. He's out for the game. Alexander Mattison plays out the rest of the game, and now we just have to wait and watch. After the game, Tom Pelissero says, yep, it's that. He wasn't wearing a harness in this game. They're going to put a harness on him and essentially hope that he can play it. So with the like a labral tear, I've got to look a little bit more into it. We might get a little medical later in the week on Locked On Vikings, but my understanding of it right now is that it's mostly a flexibility injury, but impacts can like be very painful. So it's one of those things where you put a harness on it to keep things in place, so that he actually dislocated his shoulder in this game, which you pop it back into place and that's how that goes, but it's still like the damage is done. So you put him in the harness to stop that from happening again, and then you give him something for the pain, a cortisone shot or whatever, you know, what have you. That feels like it'll be the plan. I'm super just guessing, though. Any doctors out there want to tell me that I'm wrong, I'm all ears. That's just my guess based on covering this exact injury for like 4 years with Dalvin Cook. So that's that. Also, a question I'm sure I'll get a whole bunch, especially in the Twitter Tuesday tomorrow. So get your questions in at Lockdown Vikings or at Luke Braun NFL on Twitter or in the Google form in the show notes, or send an email to lockdownvikingspodcast@gmail.com. Leave a YouTube comment, too, if you're watching on YouTube. But I'm sure I'm going to get this question a million times. What's up with Lewis Seen? Where is Lewis Seen? So the unsatisfying but true answer is we don't know. We don't know what this is, right? Rule of thumb, you can't use the big bad B word before. I mean, you really can't. Unless somebody has a truly abysmal, like a Laquon Treadwell rookie year, you probably could have. But like, even after a whole rookie year, like sometimes guys just need a year. Guys just, you know, need to adapt and then they figure something out. And sometimes there's a KJ Osborne style surge just because the world slows down for them, or they get the right, you know, mentor or whatever. But not week three, man. Like, at least give it to, like, Halloween before we start making grand sweeping declarations on whether this guy's entire career is going to turn out or not, right? But Lewisine didn't play from defense at all. Got a bunch of special team snaps, but he did not play on defense. So Josh Metellus started instead. To me, that was very surprising, because if you ask me in camp and preseason, based on what I saw, would I rather have seen or Metellus on the field? It would have been seen, and it would have been seen pretty comfortably. I thought seen was better. The priors that I'm working with is that he was a little late to everything. He was just a little slow on the field. And so can you trust that more than somebody like Josh Metellus? I thought Josh Metellus was just wrong a lot. So my answer would have been yes, but apparently that's not the way the Vikings feel, and that's fine. They when asked about this, they didn't say, oh, you know, he's like bad, or, you know, well, of course they're not going to say that, but they basically blamed it on the injury. They said, you know, he's dealt with an injury, it killed some developmental time, and he's still getting up to speed. And they seemed to be very unconcerned with it. All of the beat reporters seemed not that concerned with seeing himself, and it might just be a thing where we need a little patience. I know that's hard to ask for. We don't do a lot of patience in football fandom, but that's probably the best idea. And at the very least, yeah, maybe he's a bust and he's terrible and he's on the field because he's genuinely just worse at football than Josh Metellus. Oh, woe is us. We probably can't say that by week three. If that's the case, we can wait till we know it. You know, we don't need to be the first people to cry bust. We don't need to be the fastest cynic. That's where I'll leave that, I guess. But hey, Josh Metellus got the game-sealing interception, so good for him on a Hail Mary. He kind of earned the interception by jumping something. I think he jumped something off the dome, but he couldn't catch it, and then he ended up getting it like kind of handed to him on the Hail Mary, which feels like just, I don't know. So that's the like main news coming off of the game, injury personnel-wise. But we should talk about Cousins and what happened to Jefferson and everything else, maybe a blow-by-blow of the game, and then, of course, some stuff on defense. But before I get into all of that, I would like to talk to you a little bit about therapy. I am a very big fan of therapy. I think everybody should at least look into it, whether you're perfectly healthy or whether you have problems or not or whatever. To me, it's a maintenance thing. It's not a doctor you see, it's a gym you go to, if that makes sense, but for like your mental health, and taking care of your mental health is really important. To help you with that, BetterHelp is an online therapy resource that can help you get hooked up with somebody who's right for you. Big thing about therapy, and I'm especially talking to you fellas, I think it's really important for men, going to one therapist and they're not right for you, thinking all therapy is like that, and then spending the rest of your life thinking, I don't really like therapy. BetterHelp can help you bounce between a whole bunch, and I super recommend this. Try a bunch of people. I tried a lot of people when I was first finding my therapist before I found somebody who had the right things in common with me, had the right things not in common with me, and the right perspective, and kind of felt like the kind of person I wanted to establish that kind of relationship with. BetterHelp can help you bounce between all of those consults and different therapists for free. So I implore you, go to betterhelp.com/lockedon today, and you can get 10% off of your first month. That's betterhelp.com/lockedon. If you're looking for something a little deeper than what we can get into on a podcast, on a mostly audio format, even if you're watching on YouTube, it's still kind of just me in front of a camera, go to patreon.com/LukeBraunNFL. I do a lot of film breakdowns over there. You can also find The History of the Minnesota Vikings, a seven-hour documentary series, like a whole season of TV. So head on over. That's once again, patreon.com/LukeBraunNFL. And I would love it if you joined. Let's talk about the offense. So I think the biggest thing from this game is essentially the offense was totally anemic. They fell behind 14-0. Didn't score until like deep into the second quarter, and then score, they came back and it was tied by halftime. And then they fell behind 24-14. They let the Lions score on them twice unanswered again, and then they answered twice deep into the game. Touchdown, win 28-24, including the touchdown at the end. You've probably at least seen highlights of it if you've missed the game, the big one to KJ Osborne wide open. So what's up with that? You might be also baffled at a bad Justin Jefferson stat line, like just a genuine clunker of a Justin Jefferson stat line. 3 catches for 14 yards. that's not a lot. That's nothing, right? Like, basically totally clamped. He was out. There were more CJ Ham receiving yards on fewer receptions, mind you. This isn't a weird targets thing, than there were Justin Jefferson receiving yards. But then, of course, KJ Osborne for 73 and Adam Thielen for 61. That's where the offense went. So that is kind of what we wanted to see a little bit, right? If they shut down Jefferson, can the Vikings, you know, find other ways to generate a passing offense? Ultimately, you get 260 yards of passing offense. That, like, you could do worse than that, right? So they did find something, but it took them a long time to find it. And a lot of it came through, like, tight end screens and fullback screens and sort of gimmicky stuff, because ultimately, for most of the day, the wide receivers were getting clamped. Adam Thielen came in really clutch, though. Like, Adam Thielen's 61 yards, a lot of those were third and eights and a fourth down and really important pivotal moments in the game. And then, of course, KJ Osborne came in clutch at the end. Kirk Cousins actually had a really interesting answer when he was asked, hey, why does KJ Osborne only seem to come up when it's like the end of the game? And he says, well, things work a little different in 2 minute, where in you know, regular down to down football, it's a little bit more of a progression where you're kind of putting Osborne in a tertiary spot where, you know, the main point of this play is getting the ball to Justin Jefferson, and KJ Osborne's also there as, like, read number three. But in 2 minute, the plays that you call are a little bit more freeform and loosey-goosey, you know, a little bit more just find the open guy and a little bit more kind of on the fly. And so Cousins says, you know, then it sets him up with a one-on-one and it's a little bit faster to get to him. And I get to him before finding an open Jefferson or Thielen. So, you know, I get to him more often. I thought that was really interesting. But Cousins himself, I guess we should talk about this too. Boy, weird one for him. It's weird because, like, it's not weird for him to have an up and down game. That's a very Kirk Cousins thing. But it's weird for him to be inaccurate. He was missing. He was missing high a lot. And enough to be like, let me look at mechanics and look up a quarterback throwing clinic and see if I can't, like, suss out what exactly is wrong here. Because Cousins missed too many high. Now, there was one. There was a wide open KJ Osborne. It looked like a coverage bust, and Cousins put what he thought was the right amount of mustard on it. Turned out to be way long. And later in the game, the touchdown to Osborne that ended up being the game winner, he actually said he thought he didn't put enough on it and it ended up being perfect. And with a laugh, he's like, guess I got to work on my distances, which, yeah, bud, rough. We also have to look at that last drive, the last couple of drives where Kirk Cousins was excellent. He hit throws on the mark. He found openings downfield. And I mean, he clutched out the win, right? So what do you make of that game is a philosophical question, right? There were bad plays. He missed high. He, you know, this stuff was bad and it was here and it exists and it's part of the game. But also here's this other stuff at the end of the game that was very good. What do you make of that? How do you boil that down and call it medium? Because calling this a medium game feels like you miss out on a bunch, or you just say up and down. That's kind of what I prefer to do. Either way, it works out fine, right? Because they won. But another part of this is that Justin Jefferson was not open a lot. And it felt like he was getting mugged a lot. Like they were playing him very physically. And that also bears out with this sheer amount of penalties the Lions got. They got so many, a lot of them on a Warrior, the cornerback. So many illegal contacts and PIs and holdings, and they were playing a very physical brand of cornerback. And so while it shut down Justin Jefferson, and they doubled him a lot too. So while it shut down Justin Jefferson, at what cost? And so the real question here is, oh no, Justin Jefferson had a bad day. Can another team look at what the Lions did, copy that blueprint, and then suddenly neuter our offense and take away our best weapon? And I think the answer is they won't want to. And that's the comfort that I take here, because they gave up a lot of free first downs, and they left Thielen and KJ Osborne one-on-one. Thielen and KJ Osborne did enough to beat them. And I don't think another team is looking at the result of this game and saying, let's copy that blueprint, and feeling very good about it. I don't know. It feels like they paid too much to stop Justin Jefferson, and while they got what they paid for, it ended up costing them in the clutch moments of the game, where they had one-on-one KJ Osborne versus Mike Hughes, and Mike Hughes messed up the coverage and KJ Osborne is wide open. And like one play before that, KJ Osborne working across the field, again, caught a 4th-and-8 for a huge gain comfortably into field goal range. And then the very next play, they let him go. So like they had one-on-ones where they didn't really maybe want them. And that is what I think happened here. So part of it was a lot of Cousins just not throwing on a right platform. Some of that was pressure. I did not live. It goes very fast. So I didn't see who was responsible for that. There were a lot of free blitzers. And we talked about that before the game with Matt Derry. The Lions blitz a lot. And I think the Vikings still have a lot to work on with their blitz counters. So a lot of that just resulted in off-platform throws and sort of heaving it with your arm. And sometimes it goes high and sometimes it goes long and it sails on you when you can't step into it the way that you wanted to. But I don't think the offensive line played poorly. But I reserve the right to take all of that back once I actually get to slow down and look at it. So like that was part of it with Kirk Cousins just missing. And a lot of that was because he was throwing off platform. Sometimes it wasn't off platform, though. Sometimes these were just like coming out high on him. And so I'm really curious to see if I got anything. And then part of that was the Lions cornerbacks playing perhaps overly physical. And yes, they shut down Justin Jefferson, but it cost them way too much in penalties. And also the doubling gave one-on-ones to other players who then drew penalties of their own and eventually just won the game for the Vikings. So that's where the offense is at, in my opinion. So some things that are worth fixing, some things I don't think another team should do again. Like, I don't think the Lions are going to be happy with the plan that they came out with. Decent idea, but it didn't work well enough. I don't think they come out with that again next time. And that gives me like a tempered level of concern, I guess, is what we'll call it. I want to talk about the defense as well. So that's what we'll get into next. Defensively, I don't like it at all. I don't like any of it. I hate it. I hate what the Vikings are doing. All the players are saying like, yeah, we're still getting used to the defense and we're kind of still figuring it out. And if you were listening to Lockdown Vikings for the last like 3 months, I've been saying that. I've been saying, you know, what are you ever good at the first time you do it, right? They're going to struggle for the first couple months here. And then by like week 8, week 9, I'm hoping to see a little bit of a, like by the bye week, maybe. I'm hoping to see a little bit more cohesion. And it's a matter of, can you survive this really porous zone defense in the meantime? But we are here in the meantime, where a lot of things went wrong. There were just a lot of pass-offs that didn't go right. And that's kind of one of the skills, and maybe we'll have a longer conversation about it here someday. One of the skills of zone is being able to pass off and pick up, and it's a two-man thing. Takes two to tango. It's about understanding exactly where your teammate is going to drop a guy off and where you need to become too close to him to make that throw safe. And it's a matter of optimizing that so that you are not only not giving the quarterback a throwing window, but you're also not overlapping and leaving a whole bunch of room somewhere else. That's a difficult thing, and it's not something that they're really as used to being leveraged. You know, they would play a lot more tight to routes. They would play in people's hips and man up a lot. When you can get really good at that, you can play that true zone match where it feels like everybody's in man-to-man all the time, but you also can't like rub them and you can't use mesh on them to beat man. That's what they're after. That's what they're going for, but they're very far away from it right now. Even with all the veterans, they're all veterans, but they're not all used to working together. You know, Kendricks and Hicks aren't used to working together. Harrison Smith isn't as used to working with Cam Bynum. Of course, Harrison Smith with a concussion missed this game. So now you got Metellus out there. Although for what it's worth, I thought those two both played pretty well. You know, the corners aren't as used to it. So it's especially Chandon Sullivan feels like he's at the center of a lot of these. So it's just communication with everybody. A lot of coverage busts and mistakes and just wide open guys because you just aren't quite spacing yourselves with each other properly. That's my hypothesis. I want to go, you know, of course, watch the tape, look at all this coverage, see what's happening there. But also the Lions ran it like crazy. Their run game is insane. We know that. They're very physical, and they totally out-physicaled the Vikings. A lot of the worst reps, again, seem to be when the backup defensive line was in, which you would expect some, but this feels like too much, and they maybe can't rotate as much as they want to, which is a bummer because you want to keep guys fresh, but like at what cost, right? But really, what bails the Vikings out in this game a lot was Dan Campbell going for fourth down. I think he was 4 of 6 on four. He went for 6 fourth downs. And I say bailed out with a big giant, like a big asterisk kind of, because it was sort of only a good Lions game because they went for all of those fourth downs. And then Campbell kind of took his foot off the gas. And he actually says he wishes he went for one of the fourth downs near the end of the game. But basically every time, I mean, they would get a successful play on first down, and then you would kind of grid it out to a fourth and short, and they would go for the fourth and short, and they'd get the fourth and short. And that was like just every single series. That happened several times. But then a really clutch fourth down stop in the fourth quarter with Cam Bynum shooting up the gap and Patrick Peterson cleaning it up. But I thought Patrick Peterson had a fantastic day. He got beat down the field one time, and Jared Goff just totally sailed the throw. But other than that, it's funny. It's like he always has this one really bad play, and then he was just like clamps the rest of the game, and he was fantastic in the run, fantastic behind the line of scrimmage as well. And he was involved in that big fourth down stop. And then with the Lions driving up 24-21, at the cusp of field goal range, they come up with a fourth and I think four, and then they kick it, miss the kick, and it sets the Vikings up with what ends up being the go-ahead touchdown drive. Dan Campbell after the game says he regrets kicking that. I kind of figured maybe punt that, because there's about a minute left in the game and the Vikings had no timeouts. And if you pin them, that's really hard. Like, I would almost rather punt it than try to kick it, especially when you're up three. Kick it, go up six. It's still a one-score game, so that doesn't change the math a ton for me. Like, it's something to go from needing a field goal to a touchdown, but that doesn't feel all that valuable to me. I would probably rather punt that than kick it, but I think I agree that maybe going for it's the best way, especially because you'd been converting fourth downs really, really well all game, but maybe a little spooked because I think they had gone 0-for-2 in their last two. They were like 4-for-4, and then they missed two, if I recall. That's part of it, but a lot of that is set up by really, really successful run game, and the Vikings, again, they sort of allow this. And they're like okay with it. Yes, you can run for seven a pop on us. Eventually, you're going to have one where we get into the backfield and put you behind the chains. You won't be able to run. And now all of our soft coverage stuff is going to be really suffocating on you. That is kind of the theory, I guess, right now. And it's not a very good one because, again, the Vikings are giving up. They're just hemorrhaging lots of yards. They've been a little better in second halves. A little better in the second half today. 14 in the first half, 10 in the second half, with a lot of drives in each. I believe 6 drives apiece in each half for each team. So that's a lot more than what you got versus, like, Philadelphia. Philadelphia, there were really 9 meaningful possessions before it got to kind of end game whatever. And in this one, all the possessions were meaningful, and there were 12 of them. So to come away with the same point total scored, I would say marks an improvement. Call it, like, a points per drive improvement, I would guess. But also it felt a little bit like there was a little more playmaking going on, but it wasn't like good. Like, I'm not like happy with the defense, and I don't think anybody should be. And they've got a lot to work on, but it's like, they've got so much to work on that it's not something that gets fixed week to week. They're not going to come out against the Saints and suddenly be doing perfect zone pass offs. This takes time, and it's going to take like years of time for them to really get. And I think I like the direction it's headed. I think it is headed toward a good direction, but we are just going to be in a transitional period where we have to overcome this for now to win games instead of hoping that it gets fixed. I know that's like not a very great note to end on. And again, as I said at the beginning, remember they won. And I think there's a lot more negative stuff that happened in this game, but they won. And so kind of who cares? That's kind of be how it is. I mean, you're 2-1, you're at the top of the division. Who cares if there's a whole bunch of stuff wrong? If you're trying to predict future games, you care, which is what I'm kind of hinting at here. Like, this is going to harm them against the Saints, this zone coverage thing. This is going to make it a lot harder for you to get interceptions on Jameis Winston, who's an interception machine. When you're playing so far off of guys, that guys are so wide open, you can't break on the ball because you left way too much space because you didn't pick them up right. That's going to like stop you from being able to punish stuff like that. So it's stuff you've got to work on, but I'm not expecting it to get fixed. I'm expecting the Saints to be able to move the ball and get lots of points, and the Vikings are going to have to race them. And that's how you're going to have to play games this year, at least up until later in the year. Maybe once you've done a lot of games, you know, once you get 3 months together, you can start to shore that up a little bit, but that's not something that you learn overnight. It's not one little tweak you can make. It's you have to get better at like a very broad umbrella family of skills. And I told you this is going to be this way. This is just how games are going to go this year. So we'll see. But for now, you walk away with an ugly win, with a rough win, more or less unscathed if you can get Dalvin Cook to play through this shoulder thing. you can walk away and say we're 2-1 and that one counted. Let's go to London. So we'll have our mailbag again. Get me your questions however you want to. Check me out on Patreon, patreon.com/LukeBraunNFL. We'll break this one down up until the Wednesday show, and then we'll flip to London mode. FYI, I will be in London for this game, which is going to change how this show sounds a little bit. I'll be doing things from hotel rooms, so be prepared for that. Hoping I don't have to actually miss any shows or anything like that. But I'll also be at the game, so you can hopefully get some social media content from there. It's also going to change how things are on Patreon, but we'll talk about all that. I'll see y'all tomorrow, and as always, Skull.